me here. Halloween has passed. Thanksgiving was delicious and filling. And now Christmas season is among us. And as according to custom, everyone went out for Black Friday. Everybody, after they were done eating their turkey, they decided to line up at the walls of Best Buy and outside the mall, wait for those doors to open and storm right in, get their early Christmas shopping done and out of the way. Because that's just how things go, right? And then on top of that, all the radio stations started playing music, Christmas music, right? The season is among us. It is part of our culture. It is part of our society's customs and rhythms. And it is according to our society's character. Our society, as you know, is highly materialistic and commercial. So it is obviously going to act in according to its character. That is its custom. But customs and traditions are naturally a part of our rhythms, and they manifest themselves in many different ways. Growing up, about every 3 or 4 months or so, or not months, years, if it was months, that would be kind of overbearing, but every 3 or 4 years, my family would take a trip down to Disneyland. And my dad absolutely loved it because he got to take a week off of work. And the rest of us loved it because we got to spend time at Disneyland in LA. So, but this was a really intentional and a really important thing for our family. We came together for bonding. We came together for rest and relaxation, to have a little bit of fun, and then also to make some memories. And those things are important to our rhythms. They're important customs. Or to put it another way, confirmation for me. Twice a year, both my 7th and 8th grade year in confirmation, we would take a retreat off to Alliance Redwoods Retreat Center. And as a confirmation student, I saw this as an opportunity to get away from my nagging parents who were telling me to clean my room, do the chores, so on and so forth. But I did not appreciate what was really happening at that time. I didn't appreciate the fact at the time where I got the chance to dive into God's Word for 2 straight days with no distractions, listening to my pastor, my DCE, and our vicar, and growing in knowledge and faith in Christ. And it is important because faith comes by hearing. But it's hard to hear sometimes when everything is making noise. When everything around you is loud and obnoxious, it is really hard to get into a rhythm. And it's hard to get into a rhythm when you can't hear the beat. And so, to find that beat and to find that rhythm, you go away. You retreat to find some rest, relaxation, and get in to that rhythm. That's what happens when you go places. Nothing else seems to matter except the place that you're going and what's going on there. That is how we get into our rhythms, because we go on a mission. Jesus was always going places, but his movement is always intentional and for a purpose. His mission was his Father's mission. And theologians called this mission the Missio Dei, or the mission of God. And that mission is to bring sinners back to himself, to call sinners to repentance and forgive their sins. And he does this by establishing customs. He does this by establishing a rhythm for his followers to get in. Because mission is carried out in customs, which flow in rhythms. I'll say that again. Mission is carried out in customs, which flow in rhythms. And Jesus was constantly in rhythm and to the beat of his Father. And part of that rhythm was going on a pilgrimage, particularly to Jerusalem. That's what Jews did at that time. You took pilgrimages to Jerusalem. And one of Jesus' first pilgrimage was just days after he was born to go to the temple to be circumcised. But it was not only for him, it was also for Mary. Mary went with Jesus to be purified after giving birth. And so, in going to Jerusalem to the temple, Simeon and Anna get the chance to see Jesus. And it becomes clear that the old covenant is coming to an end and something new is about to take place. The new covenant, which proclaims good news to the poor, brings recovery of sight to the blind, releases the captives, and proclaims the year of the Lord's favor, is being ushered in. And Simeon and Anna, they knew this. And as a result, Simeon, who was mute, broke out in song. In the song that we know today as the Nunc Dimittis. It goes, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people." And Anna prophesied him, Jesus, to those in the temple as well. Clearly, Simeon and Anna recognized that something was about to change, that something new was about to take place. And that is part of the reason of going in a rhythm to the temple. It was at the temple that we get these marvelous announcements from these two apparently well-known people. But also in doing so, Jesus obeys the law of God to fulfill it on your behalf. And he can only fulfill it on your behalf if he becomes human, if he becomes a man. So he has to come incarnate because the laws that he is going to fulfill on your behalf were made for man. And man was not made for the law. I'll say that again. The law was made for man. Man was not made for the law. And so the law has its own rhythm and its own purpose, of which there are three. The first purpose is a curb. It helps us control violent outbursts of sin. When we want to lash out in anger or in a sinful way, the law curbs that. It tells us what we should and should not do. But then it's also a mirror. It shows us our sin. It forces us to reflect on ourselves and our own need for Christ. And then finally, it's a guide, because it tells us in the way of which we are to go. And Jesus, he definitely had his rhythm shaped by the law. And the second part of that rhythm was that every year, as part of that law, God instituted all men to go to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And all men had to go up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, and the Passover was to celebrate in remembrance of what God has done for them, the Israelites, in bringing them out of Egypt. And there were three times that Jesus went to Jerusalem, in Luke's gospel at least. The first was to be circumcised and for Mary's purification. The second was when he was a boy and was left at the temple, stayed at the temple. And then the third time would be his last in Luke's gospel. And Luke sets this pilgrimage apart from all the others. You see, on this third pilgrimage, Jesus sets his face toward Jerusalem. On this third pilgrimage, he laments over Jerusalem. He enters triumphantly into Jerusalem, and he weeps over Jerusalem. This is the pilgrimage that he would die. But even still, it is within his own rhythm in celebrating the Passover in Jerusalem at the temple, which is the center of worship for the Jews. Now, today, our center of worship isn't found in Jerusalem. It's not found at a temple that was built years and years ago. Instead, the center of our worship is found here. It's found at church. It is found where we find the forgiveness of sins. It is found where the word is read and preached. It is also found where the promises of God are offered to you in the sacraments. It is found where Christ is. So another part of Jesus' rhythm and his customs was going to the synagogue. He routinely went to the synagogue. And he does it again because it is part of God's established custom. If we look at the Ten Commandments, what is the third commandment? And I'll have this as kind of like a question and response deal. I'll read the question, and if you guys would all read the response. What is the third commandment? Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching or his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. The way that a Jew, especially in Jesus' day, would do this was by going to the synagogue. That is where they could find the scrolls of the Bible. That is where they could hear the word of God preached. That is where they can go to pray. That is where they can go to find rest. And they would hold it sacred by standing, by singing, by repeating those words. And they would also hold it sacred by doing no work on that day, so that they can focus on being with God, of having rest, of going on a retreat. But Jesus himself carried out this worship at the synagogue. And he did it according to his custom. If we read in Luke chapter 4, if you're in your Bibles, the 16th verse of chapter 4, it reads, "He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, 'Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" Jesus is the one who reads. Jesus is the one who preaches. Jesus is the one who fulfills. And it is all part of his rhythm. It is part of his everyday life. And this hasn't changed today. Today, as part of your rhythm, you come to church. And here is where you can find rest. Here is where you can kind of go on a retreat. And it actually seems like you're retreating, because Promise is kind of like on the outskirts of town if you're coming from Fort Wayne. You can come here, as a weekly retreat, as a weekly pilgrimage. And it's here that you find Christ. It is here where you find remission for all of your sins. And here we find remission, and where we find remission of our sins, that is also where we are reminded regarding to the mission of God. Or to put it another way, remission. We are reminded of the mission that God continues to have in the world through his church. We are recipients of his work and the work that he did as a man. So what does your rhythm or your customs look like? What are your rhythms in your life? Where do you go day to day? What do you do? Because it is from these rhythms, these customs, that the mission of God, or as we like to call it here, discipleship, takes place. Discipleship is not meant to be something else for you to do. It is something that is natural, part of your everyday rhythm. And we can get so caught up with the Great Commission in Matthew 28 on the going portion of going somewhere to do mission when it's part of our everyday life. I think the best way to, and without boring you with Greek grammar, the best way that Matthew 28, the Great Commission, can be translated is this way. While you go on your way, disciple all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. While you go on your way, while you carry out your customs, while you go through your rhythm, disciple. We see how this works out in Paul's life. In Acts 17, we see that Paul's custom was to go to the synagogue and to preach the gospel there, because there is where he found God-fearers and other believers. But as we know, the gospel can be proclaimed anywhere in the world, not just at the synagogue, not just at church. But what this does show is that Paul was intentional. Another point to show that he was intentional is if we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It reads, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside of the law, not being outside of the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." Paul intentionally becomes incarnate, if I be so bold to put it that way. Paul follows suit in his ministry the way that Jesus follows suits in his. Jesus becomes incarnate and meets us where we are at, in body and blood, in flesh. And Paul follows suit by becoming weak. He becomes a Jew. He becomes as one not under the law to meet those people where they are at. And so the mission is carried out in customs, which flow in rhythms, we as Christians have customs that are given to us by God himself to carry out that mission, and they are part of our rhythm. And so it is part of our rhythm during this Advent to prepare for the celebration of our incarnate Savior, who in his rhythm paid for the remission of our sins, because that was his mission. And now may the grace of God that surpasses all understanding continue to keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.